Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com.
The outstanding Ken Pomeroy from kenpom.com. Welcome back, sir. Great to have you with us.
Hey, Steve. It's great to be back on with you.
All right. I will start with a basic overview. In looking at the Big Ten tournament and obviously sitting there, Iowa and Purdue were 1-3 in the country and 1-2 in the Big Ten in offensive efficiency, sandwiching Gonzaga. I think that was the scenario. Is that the trend we're seeing in college basketball now, that where offensive efficiency, like college football, has a greater meaning, even though I know everybody talks about defense all the time?
You are correct, yes. Certainly in the last, 10 to 15 years, I think with the explosion in three-point shooting, just better shooters out there, shooters are really hard to defend, especially when you have multiple shooters out there, and it just opens up more space on the floor and allows for more cutting, and there's all sorts of decisions and difficult decisions that a defense has to make when the team can do those things. And so typically, I always like to say a great offense beats a great defense. Like, it's not 100% of the time, and it's probably not even like 75% of the time, but 60-65% of the time the offense will have the upper hand, and maybe even a little bit more this time of year, because shooting does improve as the year goes on, as players get more in sync against competitive defenses. And it wasn't a total fluke that those two teams, both great offensively and pretty mediocre defensively, still, were able to get to the final game.
Yes, there are obviously many stats you keep on the chart. And I always tell, for example, everybody, look, 1% to 3% you may use in a game, but the 1% to 3% changes every game as to what's there and what you use. I always keep on there, what's the percentage when you shoot the higher – what's the record when you shoot the higher percentage in a game? And, of course, what's the record when you don't? Almost Purdue's a good example. I think they're, 23-0? when they shoot a higher percentage than the opposing team or some number like that. And that, and that's why you keep that. Because, that's a simple analytic. It's not advanced, but it's simple enough to tell a story.
Right. And, the thing with Purdue is they shoot the ball very well, but obviously they have a great offense. So they're not just shooting the ball well. Like, they are a good offensive rebounding team. They draw fouls. They don't commit too many turnovers. So, even when they're not shooting it well, like, they have a chance to have a pretty good offensive game. And when they are shooting it well, it's forget about it. Like, you're not going to keep up with them.
There are 36 teams that are at-large teams, and they all have one thing in common. They all lost their last game. Okay? So, yep. Every one of them, all right? So when you start to going through the analytics, especially matchups, like take Wisconsin-Colgate. I know you got that a 7-point game, right? Which is about the neighborhood I thought it would be too. So it's pretty close to what I thought. I thought maybe 7-10. What are some of, in a matchup like that, Wisconsin Colgate, Patriot champ, big run, played great, Wisconsin stumbled down the stretch. What are you looking at in terms of how the numbers relate to each other with two programs from completely diverse conferences?
Yeah, it's a challenge. I guess the one advantage with Colgate is that we've seen them in recent NCAA tournaments, and they have performed quite well. Mm-hmm. Last year against Arkansas, 3 years ago against Tennessee, really gave them a scare. So, program-wise, they know what they're doing. Like, their coaching staff knows what to expect and knows how to prepare the team. From a statistical standpoint, the thing that jumps out at you about Colgate is that they're a great three-point shooting team, and that's kind of been their MO here the last few years. So, that's not, going to translate perfectly to playing a Big Ten defense as opposed to Patriot League defenses. But still, as I mentioned earlier, if shooters get open, they're going to make shots. It doesn't matter who's playing on the other team if they're open. So it should be a pretty interesting game. And obviously, what's been made, at least in the analytic circles, about Wisconsin's kind of struggles to put teams away, regardless of who they're playing. They can obviously beat some great teams, but they play down to the level of their opponent pretty often. So you certainly would expect this to be a competitive game most of the way based on that.
And, as somebody who saw Wisconsin twice, once against Penn State, and then obviously I saw them on Thursday night, or Friday night, excuse me, I think one of the reasons is they don't have a bench. I mean, and they've got to play their guys a lot of minutes.
You know, there's another thing that comes up this time of year, and that's like talking about star players. And I've seen that narrative around Wisconsin possibly making a deep run. You know, obviously Johnny Davis is a talent that few other teams have. But, like, realistically, like, you look back historically in the NCAA tournament, and there are many examples of, like, teams that depend so heavily on one player, you know, making a run to the Final Four. You know, usually the teams that succeed are the ones that have, you know, three or four really solid options offensively that the defenses can't key on. And, you know, it speaks to the bench issue, and, it, you know, obviously Colgate, their game plan is going to be to make life difficult for Johnny Davis. Right. And if they're successful in doing that, it'll be an interesting game.
All right. Gonzaga is number one. When you look at the metrics on them, what jumps out at you? Because, I mean, I don't think a lot of people realize they have 10 quad one wins. This is not, you know, they're like 10-3 in quad one wins. So what statistically on their line jumps out about Gonzaga?
Well, they're just very solid all the way around. You know, their offense is ranked first, their defense is ranked seventh. I think, you know, there's obviously some skepticism based on their conference. But as you point out, like, there actually was some meat in their conference this year. You know, San Francisco and St. Mary's both got at-large bids. BYU was, you know, they're in the NIT, and they were on the cusp of getting that large bid. So conference was decent. I think what jumps out at me really, though, is that they're second in the country in two-point offense, and they're first in the country in two-point defense. And, you know, again, a little bit aided by the schedule, but whenever I look at teams, like, their statistical profiles, and I kind of want to see, you know, how fluky have they been this year? Two-point defense is not fluky at all. That's a bedrock that's going to, you know, persist from game to game. And so that's a great starting point for Gonzaga. And, you know, they are rightfully the favorite to win this tournament.
And one of the reasons why, Ken, is the really good two-point defensive teams force you into taking tough twos. In other words, they're running you off the three-point line. They've got a wall built up around the basket, and they're making you take the tougher twos. I think Gonzaga makes some teams take tougher twos.
They do, and obviously, you know, Chet Holmgren is a big reason why. I mean, that's the difference between this season and last season. Last season's team was, like, super dynamic offensively, but, you know, the coaching staff always had concerns about their defense last year, and this year, you know, with Chet in the middle, like, he's able to defend the rim. And not only do they force tough twos, but when you know that you're going to have to meet Chet Holmgren at the rim, like, yeah, you're going to take some tough twos, but you're also going to take tougher threes. Like,
yes.
You know, you get an open look from 5 feet off the three-point line, you're more inclined to take that, knowing that if I don't take it later in the possession, I got to take a really difficult two. So opponents only shoot 31% from three against them, and that's a big reason why.
A lot of people are really big on Arizona. Tommy Lloyd goes from Gonzaga to Arizona. I feel like he's running Gonzaga's deal with better athletes down there. So what's the statistical line in Arizona?
Yeah, I mean, they're very similar to Gonzaga. Gonzaga, by the way, first in the country in average possession length offensively. Arizona is fourth, and kind of unusual this year. You know, normally the teams at the top are not super fast in terms of pace, but top two teams this season are among the top two fastest in the country, and that's because they both do kind of the same thing. You know, they're looking to push the ball, they're looking to score early in the shot clock if it's there, even after made shots. Like, they're going to take the ball out of the hoop and push it, and that's what Arizona does. They also lead the country in assist rate. So they assist 65% of their baskets are assisted. They're really unusual in that they don't take a lot of threes. They, you know, they have some shooters. They don't take a lot of threes. They just love to get to the rim. And when they get to the rim, I got to look this up. I'm going to write about this later this week. But when they take a shot at the rim, it's rebounded by the defense, like, you know, like 12% of the time or something. Like, they either get a made bucket or they get an offensive rebound a ridiculous amount of time. So they're just offensively very difficult to stop because of that.
Kentucky has Oscar Tshiebwe, and they're an older Kentucky team than what I see. There's certain elements in this tournament that you can't use the old standard. Wisconsin plays faster than they ever did before. We, you know, you and I talked about that the last time we were on. Right? Kentucky's older. I mean, Tshiebwe came in from West Virginia. So what does a Kentucky stat line tell people that they should be taking a look at?
Yeah, Kentucky is older, but there's one thing that jumps out at you that is common to just about every Kentucky team in the past, and that is that they are not really a threat from the three-point line.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, they're 350th in terms of the percentage of field goal attempts they take from three, and you know, a lot of that is on Kellen Grady. Like, he's obviously a great shooter for them. The transfer from Davidson, one of those old guys, shooting 43% from beyond the arc. But he doesn't take a ton of threes for a guy who shoots that many, you know, under seven a game. And then after that, you know, the backcourt is really not a great shooting backcourt. They're not a backcourt that looks for threes, and certainly the frontline guys are not shooting threats. So this is, you know, a typical Kentucky team to some extent. Not a perimeter threat. They're going to drive it down your throat. They're going to get a bunch of offensive rebounds thanks to Shibue. And against most teams, that'll work. But as you get deeper into the tournament and face more sophisticated and more effective defenses, that could really become an issue.
All right, so when you look at the teams in this tournament, you know, everybody's going to ask you what your Final Four is going to be. So, I mean, you might as well get the question out of the way now. So, who's your Final Four?
Well, I will go with Gonzaga. I'll go with with Baylor. And I will go with Villanova and Iowa.
Okay. So, yeah, let's get to Villanova for a moment. Gillespie is just, he really is a fun guy to watch. Villanova's a team that you talked about. Kentucky is not great from the three-point line. Villanova is. What's their stat line say that makes you think they've got a real shot?
Yeah, you know, really good three-point shooting team. I mean, people look at their percentage, and it's not overwhelming, 36%, but they take a ton of threes. Yeah, 46% of their shots are threes.
See, that's see, people don't understand. If you take volume, you'll get points.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the offense is kind of sneaky effective in that sense. Like, obviously, they're going to go through cold stretches, but still have their offense ranked eighth in the country. And their defense is 28th, and so, you know, not great, but good enough to make a deep run. And as you said, you know, led by Colin Gillespie, just really experienced. But this is a team that, you know, nobody in that starting lineup has a usage rate of over 23%. So the folks out there who don't know what that is, basically just, you know, how often does a player, you know, take a shot, essentially, end a possession.
Right.
And, you know, the average player is going to be 20%. There's five players on the court, and Johnny Davis is at like 32%, so that's kind of on the high end. So
yeah.
Villanova just has four guys out there, four or five guys that kind of all do similar things. And so that's, you know, I kind of like that profile a little better than I do the Wisconsin profile.
Right. All right. So, and then you mentioned Iowa. I had said on the show 3 weeks ago, I said I think Iowa might be the team that wins the Big Ten tournament. Now, I'm not Nostradamus. It just looked like they were going in that direction, okay? So what do you like about them? Because obviously the offense is one of them. I mean, Fran runs beautiful offense. There's no getting around it. He's got the players to do it, starting with Murray.
Yeah, runs great offense. Third lowest turnover rate in the country. And, you know, it's led by Keegan Murray, who personally has the fifth lowest turnover rate in the country among all players. So, you know, people talk about Keegan Murray, you know, they see, you know, what he does in terms of making shots, you know, really from all three levels. But the sort of silent killer with him is that he just never turns the ball over either. So he's not making any mistakes. So that offense is locked in. And obviously we saw, you know, in the Big Ten tournament how good it is. The defense is maybe, you know, certainly more suspect as it typically is, you know, ranked 77th in my ratings. But I think it's a little different than last year. Last year they were dead last in the Big Ten in forcing turnovers. And
exactly.
This year they're first. So,
right.
So even though the defense isn't maybe any more effective, it is more active, and it does lead to more easy stuff offensively. And I think, you know, when push comes to shove too, like, you know, Keegan Murray and his brother can bear down and make stops at the end when they have to, like when they're not worried about kind of preserving themselves and staying on the court. So, I really do like this Iowa team. I think they can make a deep run.
Yeah, and the other guy is Toussaint, who's, you know, he's not a big scorer, but he's always been a good defensive player, quick. You know, and the Murray twins are long. I mean, they are long. They clog up passing lanes. They get deflections. Okay, everybody's going to ask Ken, give me a couple teams that, like, you know, they're not going to get to the Final Four, but you know what? You know, as you look at your bracket, they bear watching that they could advance a round or two.
Well, I don't know how you feel about the team, but I actually like Indiana to be one of those teams coming out of the first four. They have a pretty favorable matchup early against Wyoming, and then they get St. Mary's in their second matchup. So certainly some winnable games there. And then, you know, potentially a round two matchup with UCLA, who is solid. Like, no disrespect to UCLA. They're still really good, and I think they're a bit underseeded. But Indiana's played some good ball down the stretch, and, you know, that, you know, kind of takeoff ramp for the first four has worked out pretty well for some teams in the recent past. And so I really like Indiana.
Wyoming, St. Mary's, and UCLA all have something in common. They do not have a matchup for Trayce Jackson-Davis.
Yeah, and not a lot of teams do, in fairness. But
oh, I know.
But yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah, he's quite a player.
Okay, so then give me a couple others here if you got them.
Well, I'd take a look at Colorado State. They're kind of an interesting team out of the Mountain West. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know about. They open up with Michigan, who's obviously been, you know, hit and miss to some extent this year. But Colorado State's been, you know, another team that's like kind of led by their offense. Have a pretty special player in David Roddy.
Yes.
You know, a couple other like decent supporting cast players in Isaiah Stevens and John Tanjay. They, you know, had a really solid year, 24-4. I mean, they lost four games in the, you know, the entire season, all of them in the Mountain West. So that's a team that could certainly, you know, give Michigan a run for their money in the first round and, you know, maybe win a couple more games after that.
Their guard wing players probably are better than the guard combination for Michigan. The one problem that Colorado State will have to overcome, they'll have to figure out a way. They don't match up with Dickinson, right? But they match up really well in the other spots, and that's why I can understand why you picked them.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's, you know, it's going to be a game that you know, it's probably fairly high scoring, but yeah, watch out for the Rams.
Anybody else? Give me one more. Marisa Bengo. Okay.
You know, well, I'll throw South Dakota State in there. Like, they'd have to match up with.
They haven't lost in how long?
Yeah, with a 21 game win streak. Yeah. I mean, the problem is they have to match up with Iowa in the second round, and so that's gonna be a shootout if it happens. But dealing with Providence, who is you know, pretty vulnerable, and
yes,
and South Dakota State, you know, the best 3-point shooting team in the country by far. So you know, pretty fun team to watch.
Providence is 11-2 this year in games decided by 5 points or less. Creighton made sure in the semifinals the game was not going to be 5 points. They ran them out of the garden. It's like, no five-point or less with us, please. Enough.
That's the thing about that stat, you know. Like, on the one hand, yeah, you're good in close games. But on the other hand, like, when you lose, you're probably losing by a lot of points. And that's happened multiple times to Providence this year.
That's what I've always said. And this will be the last comment because I know you got 1,000 things to do. But I talked about Mike Krzyzewski. Right? And I said, look, Mike Krzyzewski's record in games decided by 5 points or less is about the same winning percentage as most other coaches. The difference is he's never in games decided by 5 points or less. Okay? The really good teams blow you out.
That's the truth. Like, history would definitely tell you that's the truth. And, you know, we've been down this road before. I think most recently with, like, 2017 Maryland, I think, they kind of took the Big Ten by storm early in the season, won a lot of close games, and then, you know, really fizzled out late in the season, lost in the first round of the tournament. So, history would tell you, yeah, the teams that are just skating by winning a bunch of close games are due for a correction pretty soon.
It's always fun to talk with you, Ken. Thank you so much for your valuable time. Really appreciate it. Man, the audience had a blast. The host had an even better time. How about that?
All right. Well, it's great to hear, Steve. I always like being on the show, and hopefully we can do this again next year.
Absolutely, Ken. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Steve.